don't know if you've ever seen, let me think if I remember. Nope, I'm not coming up with the FOMO. Anyway, it's the optical illusion that you've got different pictures. And so what I have on here is a little pond and a little duck. And they look like they're separate. But when you roll the hand, when you look at it, you see a duck in a pond. The point of that is that on Trinity Sunday, we think of God, you know, we experience God in creation, we experience God in Jesus Christ, we experience God as Holy Spirit living in our hearts. We experience, and yet they're not separate, they come together. As God moves in and out of our lives, it's all one. And likewise, we're a congregation, and Family Promise is a separate 501c3 charitable organization. And yet, as we move together, I think we will find that the picture comes together and makes us all more whole. Let's pray. Lord, be with us this day as we listen to your word, as we listen for your call, as we open ourselves to your coming, you who created us and redeemed us and empower us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's hard to believe, but I have been pastor here for over a year and a half. Time flies. It does. Yeah. And as I was getting ready for today, I was thinking back to the interviews that I had with the committee. Tracy and Carol Lee and Dale and Alan and Brenda and Catherine is here somewhere. And, and then our sweet Kathy Wagner. And in those conversations, those first conversations, we talked about the hopes that you all had for the congregation, some of the challenges that you all have before you, and wondered together about how, if we joined together in ministry, if I became the pastor and we, you know, kind of came together, how we together might be able to help the congregation embrace a new beginning. And since that time, we have focused our prayers and our actions on trying to answer that question. Many of us have attended community forums to learn more about the life of our neighborhood, which has changed a lot in recent years. We have taken our worship beyond our walls through things like Ashes to Go and the blessing of the animals in Little People's Park and the block party. We've done some social things, fun things for the neighborhood. We've offered breakfasts and a lunch to the homeless. In fact, in all of the prayers and conversations, we have continually found ourselves returning to that issue of how can we be better neighbors to those who are homeless in our community. And part of that was that Brenda and Rick and I, along with Rebecca, the pastor at the time, traveled to Philadelphia before I even came to be a pastor to visit a ministry there in inner city Philadelphia that centers around holistic and trauma-informed services to the most difficultly situated homeless in that city. And we came away inspired, I would say, and challenged, and also feeling that most of what they do would not really work for us here, in large part because the challenges faced by the population that they serve would not be a good match for us who have a school on campus, and you just can't bring that population into close contact with children for the safety of the children. So we continued to pray, and as I've been saying, throw things against the wall to see what might stick. And guess what? Just a little over 2 months ago, one of those things we threw at the wall stuck. And that is, Family Promise contacted us asking whether or not we would consider allowing them to move their offices and their family day shelter onto our campus. And at a session meeting that was powerful for those of us who were there, it seemed like the answer to our prayers were being answered. We have wanted to do something, but we don't currently have enough members to host, to be a host congregation for Family Promise that needs to supply people to greet and help kids with homework and supply dinner and then sleep overnight with the families for a week. We wanted to do something, but we couldn't open our campus to people who were potentially violent or unstable or mentally ill because of the school's presence. We wanted to do something, and this was something we could do. Something concrete that we could offer to God. Something that hearkens to what God asks of us in Isaiah 58, verses 6 through the beginning of verse 9. God says to the prophet and the people through Isaiah, "Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and God will say, 'Here I am.'" I think that this passage, this urging from God for us to make our offerings and prayers to God something concrete, maybe God's answer to the thoughts and prayers controversy that's running around these days. You know, every time something bad happens, you're in our thoughts and prayers. And of course, these situations do call for us to think. There are no easy answers, and we want to engage our minds and our imaginations to see what could be done. And of course, we pray. We could do nothing as Christians without prayer. Prayer centers us in God. It opens us up to the Spirit's guidance and empowerment. It invites God to work through us, acknowledging that our own that on our own, we don't have a chance of being effective, that we need God, that God is at the one who can do these things. But thoughts and prayers by themselves are not enough. They must be paired with action. This is a big theme in the letter of James, who argued that you can't separate faith from action. He writes that someone will say, "You have faith and I have works." And James's response was, "Well, show me your faith apart from your works. And I will show you my, and by my works, I will show you my faith." Or as the Message translates it, faith and works fit together like hand and glove. And so we stepped out in faith and offered our space to Family Promise, hoping that this would just be a first step and we will have the opportunity to offer more, to become true partners in this ministry with Family Promise. And so I invited Cindy Albertson at a very last minute thing, and she graciously accepted to come and help us to have a deeper understanding about the vision and work of our newest neighbor here on campus. So I would like you now to listen to the passage that Cindy chose to base her remarks today. From Psalm 31, the end of that great psalm. "Oh, how abundant is your goodness that you have laid up for those who fear you and accomplished for those who take refuge in you in the sight of everyone. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from human plots. You hold them safe under your shelter from contentious tongues. Blessed be the Lord. For God has wondrously shown God's steadfast love to me when I was beset as a city under siege. I had said in my alarm, 'I am driven far from your sight,' but you heard my supplication when I cried out to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts haughtily. Be strong Let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Cindy?
Okay. All right. It sounds like it's on. Thank you guys so much for the warm welcome and the peace be with you all today. It's been such a pleasure to be on this beautiful campus in this amazing congregation, and we've had nothing but warm welcome from everybody that we've met. And I do want to thank Pastor Kim and the full session for hearing us out and granting us this amazing space. I also, because it is Memorial Day, and because my grandpa served, my brother served, my husband served, I want to thank anybody in the congregation who served our country, sacrificed your own life at times. And if you've served, if you had a family member or a friend who served, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because this is what this weekend to me, the Trinity, but also about recognizing our service members and their family. So Family Promise is actually a national organization founded, this is our 30th year. So Family Promise of Orange County, we are in our 6th year. We opened 6 years ago on Super Bowl Sunday. And I thought, what a way to come into this world of nonprofit, Super Bowl and a super service and a super ministry, right? So there's our founder's name is Karen Olson. And Karen lived in New Jersey. And she walked by the homeless every day on her way to work. And there was a particular woman who Karen started talking to. Her name was Millie. Millie has passed, but Karen Olson is still very involved in Family Promise. She is no longer our CEO and president, but she is coming to speak at our gala here in Orange County on September 15th. It's Roaring for Families, a Roaring 20s gala over at the Phoenix Club. So you'll hear more about that. But Karen was really upset that so many people in New Jersey were homeless. So she started bringing Millie food. And she started talking to Millie, and Millie, found out that Millie had lost her job and then lost her home. And then fled to the streets of New Jersey. I can't even imagine being homeless in New Jersey. Being homeless in Orange County is bad enough, but in New Jersey, wow. So Karen went to her congregation and said, we have to do something. We have all this space. Why not welcome people in? And the congregation said, well, we'd like to welcome in families. And believe it or not, 30 years ago, we still had homeless families. And so they did do some service for individuals that were homeless, including Millie. And they were able to nourish her, they were able to support her, and they were able to get her back into the workforce and back into an apartment. And so that's still what we do. We take families who are literally homeless, not families that have maybe spent too much and can't afford to pay their rent. These are families who many, for no fault of their own, have become homeless and usually are living in emergency shelters or in their car. The two families that are in our emergency shelter program right now each have one single mom and four children. And those children and their moms were living in their cars. And these cars are not luxury sedan, long station wagons. These are, one is a Toyota Corolla, and it is on its last leg. So I am drawn to this. I've been in social services for over 34 years. I know. I started when I was 4, right? Okay. So, no, literally, I started at the age of 15 years old and started volunteering, and then went into the field, got my degree in psychology, and then an MBA, because leading programs that change people's lives is everything that matters to me. This is a ministry to me far more than it is an actual job. I go to work enthusiastic. I go home enthusiastic. I'm on call most of the days, most of the nights, and I'm happy to receive a call from a congregation if it helps the family that we're serving. Right? And I don't know how else to express it, that getting involved in a ministry like many of you have, your choir. I was videoing you, so I need signed video releases from every member of the choir, because you're an enchanting congregation. This is an enchanting place, and this is God's place. I really want for you to get involved in our ministry in any capacity that you can. It could be coming and answering the phones for us. It could be returning calls to families to let them know that somebody cares enough to answer their call and help connect them to resources, right? And so there are many things that people can do, and people can actually do this from home. I know we're on the third floor. I think of it every day as I run up and down, right? But there are things that people can do from home that could help us immensely. There are phone calls that can be made. There are data entry stuff that can be done. So I invite you to get to know more about us. These families come to us sometimes working, but not making enough money to live, even rent a room in Orange County, right? Anybody who's getting ready to pay their mortgage or their rent coming up in the next few days knows the cost of living here is very, very high. So the families come to us and we get them new resumes, we get them connected to job training programs, sometimes go back to school, get their GED or a high school diploma, which I'm in favor of because I think it gives them the completion of something that they may not have been able to do. And so, there are things that people don't even imagine. Both the moms that are in our emergency shelter program, actually, we have five families right now, two in emergency and three in our short-term or transitional housing program. They're all five single moms with children. Four of them are survivors of domestic violence. So they had the courage and the strength. And that's really what I shared with Pastor Kim, is that our families are courageous and strong, and 73% are single moms. And so four of these five women fled a domestic violence situation, knowing that they couldn't really afford to be on their own raising their children. But I always ask families, I ask moms, what made you leave? What made you leave? And they say, for fear for the children, that's the first reason why they leave, or I thought he would kill me, and so therefore I had to get out because then he would have my children, and who knows what would happen. So that is over 20 years of experience, what I've heard from women who have fled domestic violence, and so I wanna show you a video of families, and there's actually, we do take dads. We take older children. A lot of shelters won't support a father in the family, but that is the family. We're one of only two shelters in the county that will take multi-generational. So if grandma or grandpa is part of the family when they become homeless, then we take in grandma or grandpa. We're doing an interview right now on a mom who has a 13-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 23-year-old, and the 23-year-old's fiance. They're all homeless right now. We don't have enough room in our emergency shelter until one of the families graduates to take a family of that size. We support 14 people at a time. They do sleep on either cots provided by the congregation, or they sleep on air mattresses. That's actually a job that we have, 7 in the morning on Sundays. We need people to go pick up our air mattresses and deliver them to the next congregation, or bring them here and leave them for my staff in the van to transport in the afternoon. But those are the kinds of volunteer opportunities that somebody who's up already on Sunday, who doesn't mind to run over and grab some air mattresses, throw them in their trunk or whatever, and get them here. That would be a huge service to our ministry. So the families sleep on air mattresses. They're provided a home, usually a home-cooked meal, unless I'm the dinner host for the evening, because then they get pizza or one of those Stouffer's lasagnas or Kentucky Fried Chicken, which I found is very popular. So usually the congregations cook a meal, they do a dessert, they do homework with the children. A lot of them actually do some kind of ministry, even though we're an interfaith organization. It happens. A pastor down in Newport Beach is a phenomenal musician, and he brought out his guitar and started singing songs with the kids, and it just happened that they all knew Jesus Loves Me, and I got the privilege of being there that night and watching it, and I thought, this is amazing. So I heard several of you sing, so your ministry part could be singing songs with the kids. Maybe we do some kind of a Christmas show with our children and teach the children some Christmas songs and actually have a Christmas celebration with our families. That would be amazing. So I invite you to get involved however you're comfortable. And if you're uncomfortable about the ministry that's going on also, or you have questions and concerns, I want you also to reach out to me. I have a ton of cards in my purse, and we do have an e-newsletter that's a monthly newsletter, and not this because those are my notes, but on here is a little sign-up sheet that's going to be out at the coffee cart. If you'd like to be on our e-newsletter, the next blast is going to go out on Tuesday. And after I show you a quick video, I'm going to tell you about the family that we're highlighting in that. You're going to hear more in depth than what I'm comfortable putting out to 4,000 people in an email, right? I'm going to tell you after you hear the story of these families and what they've gone through and what Family Promise meant to them. I just want to let you know that these are actual families in the video. It's not a professional video, but it is a video from the heart. It's only a minute long. And then afterwards, I'm going to tell you about Karina, who I think is amazingly courageous, and her four children. So let me cue this up. Abbott, hopefully I'm doing it right. Okay. Oh, I may have to turn it back on. All right. I want to thank Abbott too. You guys give him a round of applause. He has done so much for us, including being my new IT man. Okay, it looks like we need to do something here. Is there a way to make it darker, Abbott? Brighter. Maybe. Okay, it's coming a little better. There. Okay, now. Oops, I'm going to change the name of it.
I found myself homeless when I lost my job, and it left us in a situation where we had nowhere else to go. So it was very difficult.
All of our stuff was just like packed up one day and then we were gone.
A lot of teens like to leave their family to go live with friends because it is scary being homeless, but my advice is just stay with your family because they'll really need you.
The best part of Family Promise was that we all stayed together.
I didn't even feel like I was homeless being with Family Promise.
They helped us out a lot, a whole lot.
I'm going to continue to utilize the skills that I've learned here. Sometimes in life, you know, when the obstacles are, you know, struggles are hard, all you need is a second chance. I'm grateful for that.
Okay. In the last 3 years, not including the families we're serving this year, we supported 97 families, just like those two that you saw. 93% went from being literally homeless to being stably housed. And so we're really proud of our success rate. And I always tell the new families that you have to try really hard to not succeed in this program. Okay, you have to try really hard. You've got to not do what we say to do. When I was thinking of things to say about what our families go through, the words from King and Country, for King and Country, the Christian band, come to mind. It says, to everyone who's hit their limit, it's not over yet. When you think you're finished, it's not over yet. And so that's how we go into each family. We talk to them and we say, we know you've hit your limit. We know you're ready to crumble. But when I met Karina, she literally was so thin and terrified of everything in life, right? And I knew her story because we do a background check and a drug screen on every family. So I get to make the final decision if I'm concerned at all about a family. They don't enter our program. We refer them to other programs. But we try really hard to take families that are motivated to be successful. And so with Karina, she was already working. Her 18-year-old son was already working, and he also was attending the Tustin Police Department Explorers program. Karina is shy about how many years that she stayed with an abusive husband. And she says, you know, she's a failure because she was living, in her own words, in the car on a dark, scary street, sleeping at night, praying that a police officer would not find them and take her children away, because she was living with family, but there were five family members living in this apartment. Okay, five families, relatives of each other, right, living in the apartment. Well, the landlord found out and kicked all the extra families out and said, either they're out or you're evicted. And so she took her four children and her old Toyota Corolla and went out onto the streets. Do you know these children never miss a day of school? They are polite, they are courteous, they are kind and loving, and their little girl loved our dress-up play stuff in upstairs and would put stuff on and twirl around like a princess. And when they first went to the congregation, I got to be there for their first day in the rotation, the congregational rotation program. And that congregation says, we want to know what kind of milk you like, what's your favorite cereal, what's this? Well, Karina just sat there, terrified to even say what kind of milk. She says, anything. We're just so thankful to be inside, right? And I said, no, Karina, if you were shopping and money wasn't an object, what milk? What cereal? And finally, Rodrigo says, I can't remember, something with chocolate in it, of course, because Rodrigo is 9, but something with chocolate in it. And Karina looks at him and I go, write that down. So this congregation was taking their shopping list, and the level of appreciation and just great gratitude was amazing. And so those are our families. Karina works as a seamstress. Leo works in a dry cleaning store, and he was going to get to his Explorer program because that's so important to him, because he would like to go into law enforcement, right? He's a high school graduate here. He was going to ride his skateboard from a congregation in Newport Beach. down to this. One of the volunteers, a guy named Mike, who actually was a superintendent of one of the schools, and I was like, okay, he is background checked, said, I will pick him up and take him to this at 5 a.m. I will get him there. And then the next day I went down to the congregation and set up Uber with our company credit card so that Leo could Uber to and from things. And that way that would take a little less stress off Karina. She doesn't see herself as courageous. She sees herself as a victim. And so we're teaching her through therapy and through parenting classes that she is a survivor. And these are all survivors, whether they've ever been harmed emotionally or physically, or whether they just overcame homelessness and did the work that's required, they're survivors. And because of you guys, we now have a place for them to come, to apply for jobs, to work, pick up supplies. You know, we supply everything. We have cubicles full of supplies. And thank you all for the collection of the food for the kids when they come in, because they're usually hungry, right? And so the granola bars and everything, that was a wonderful gift. So I just want you guys to know that we are a partner here, and we're a grateful, grateful partner. And we thank you, and we thank Pastor Kim, the Presbytery, our donors. I was going to run up to my office and count the number of Presbyterian congregations that support Family Promise, and I didn't have time. But off the top of my head, I can think of 5 and the Presbytery. So something that Pastor Kim doesn't even know, that the Presbytery and Teston Presbyterian Church each donated $50,000 so that we could open a house called the House of Ruth. Well, on Friday, I met with HomeAid, and HomeAid is the nonprofit arm of the building industry. We have officially got a partnership with HomeAid and the city of Teston to build an emergency shelter for homeless families in Orange County. So, this is a huge day for us. I'm literally and the same day, a woman from that church down in Teston who saw where Karina and her children were sleeping right down in Newport Beach, she decided that she needs a new Toyota Corolla, and she's giving her used, but gently, amazingly used. This woman whose name is Wendy, who's 80 years old, says, well, I love my Toyota Corolla, and I'm really worried about Karina and the kids driving around in that car of hers, and I want to give her. So they are gifting us the Toyota Corolla for Karina and her family. So that was, Friday was, I like ran home. I'm a marathon runner, so when I go running in to talk to my husband, I literally go running. And I was so excited, I just could have done cartwheels down those 3 flights of stairs, because there's so many people in this community that are helping address the issue of homelessness that you all have your place too. You can now feel proud that you are taking homeless families off the streets, and 93% of them, if they do the program, 93% of them will be stably housed at the end of their stay with us. So thank you guys for changing lives like Karina's and Gregoria, Christine, Crystal, and our newest one, Patricia, that just joined us last week. These families are so thankful for everything you do. Because if I didn't have a place to work, we literally were gonna take over half of one of our homes. And that would take away a home for a family. So you gave us a home, now Patricia and her kids have a home. So thank you guys so much for everything you do.